This is the Hugh saw here.
The Hugh saw at Dwayne Voggin's mill can make 2 2x4s from a tree no thicker than a loaf of bread.
The magic is being able to turn such small diameters into a high-quality finished product.
For decades, lumber companies logged the biggest trees on the landscape, but most of those are gone. Much of what remains is on protected public lands. So companies like Voggin Brothers have tried to adapt.
We've kind of taken a page out of the environmental movement's playbook, so we're really a thinning company more than a logging company.
Whether thinning makes sense for the environment is still hotly debated. Some scientists say it harms wildlife and can even encourage wildfire. But lumber companies in Northeast Washington would be hard-pressed without it. Dwayne Voggin gets a third of his timber on national forest, and there's enough infrastructure nearby to make small trees economical. Leaves and branches produce electricity at a biomass plant. Damaged logs go to a pulp mill for paper. Voggin says the problem is that even with millions of acres of forest nearby, it's hard to maintain a continuous supply of timber.
This mill should not be starved for logs. The truck should be lined up.
As it is, Voggin says the Usk mill is losing money, running at half capacity. This isn't uncommon. Mills across the U.S. are struggling with the weak housing market and competition from around the world. More than a third have closed in the past 20 years. But Voggin says there's another factor at play for mills in the West. The long planning process required to log on public land.
It takes them 5 to 7 years to get some projects put up for sale.
Colville National Forest spokesman Franklin Pemberton says some of that delay is unavoidable.
Moving through the process can only go as fast as you can go when you have things like winter and heavy snowpack where the botanists can't get out there, or the wildlife biologists can't survey for a certain species because it isn't the right time of year.
But Pemberton says the growing time and expense of fighting wildfires has also derailed day-to-day work at the Forest Service. Nearly half the agency's employees already work on fire full-time. For the others?
If we break a fire, that botanist, then their priority is that fire. So they'll shift over and then they'll do that fire, support that fire activity until it's done, then they'll move back into their normal job.
One bill moving through Congress could help fix that. It would fund wildfire response just like other natural disasters, freeing up more money for land management. For now, wildfire interrupts the same Forest Service projects that are intended to prevent large fires in the future. On a drive near Colville, Pemberton says decades of excessive logging and firefighting left thick stands of small trees especially vulnerable to big fires and disease. Then he points out a stand recently thinned by Voggin Brothers and set with a controlled man-made burn.
You can look back in there and see that it's a little bit more open. You got little trees and old trees.
It's not clear how much difference this thinning could make in a megafire. Wind and weather may be even more important than fuel. Still, some say more than 50 million acres of federal land would benefit from similar treatment. Pemberton says Colville and other forests are trying to scale up thinning work by signing long-term stewardship contracts. Companies get timber free in exchange for wildlife-friendly work like replacing culverts and taking out old logging roads.
Without these mills and without the infrastructure, we simply can't restore ecosystems. We just don't have the machinery, the equipment, the people.
The mills used to need the forests, Dwayne Voggin says. Now the forests need the mills. In Usk, I'm Rowan Moore-Garrity.